Outreach is more than hosting community events and hoping that they stick. Effective outreach helps people move from congregational visitors to committed members and disciples of Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Meaningful Outreach, an Essential Guide for Churches. Find out more about this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Meaningful Outreach, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Any good judge would realize that under the logic of Dobbs, which said there's no right to abortion anywhere in the Constitution, and essentially said states can legislate on this now, no good judge could look at the law and say, yes, Congress has the constitutional authority to create a right to abortion.
The danger, of course, is that when we start trying to say, oh, this is God judging so-and-so or judging this activity, we don't get to know that. God doesn't make us privy to his reasons for doing things. But is it absolutely possible that bad things happen because of God's just wrath? Absolutely.
If the Bible is cast off, the church will wither and die, spiritual starvation. And we're seeing a lot of that, especially in the church bodies in North America that flat out reject the Bible as God's word.
Repentance comes along in the work of the Holy Spirit to show us first our own sinfulness and then the love of God for us, which again predated any repentance or any forgiveness or even any awareness of our own sin.
Overweight, middle-aged Arizona hikers dealing with their fourth round of COVID, love issues, etc.
There were a lot of angles to the coverage of the assassination of Japan's former prime minister that have come out. A lot of questions raised about the journalism there, how he was described by National Public Radio in, I think, three separate attempts to get it right or to make it neutral as they can be, and other outlets as well. There's another angle here that has been recently discovered, and again, the journalists are being put to the test as to be clear about exactly what the connection between this alleged assassin and the Unification Church is and what the Unification Church is. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 14th of July. Terry Mattingly of Get Religion joins us to talk about media coverage of the alleged assassin of Japan's former prime minister and the Unification Church. We'll discuss the lies of Roe v. Wade with Erin Hawley. She served on the Mississippi legal team that defended the state's Gestational Age Act at the U.S. Supreme Court. And then we'll discuss the loss of transcendence and the decline of the West with Dr. Jordan Cooper of Just and Sinner. Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center for Southern Journalism and Politics at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So what's the safest way in print to describe the Unification Church?
If you look at it from the perspective of normal journalism practice, first of all, the church gets to name itself. So on first reference, for sure, you would call it the Unification Church. Now, it has a long, drawn-out name that kind of tells you something about the whole shooting match here. Let's see if I can find that actual reference. It's something about the unification of Christianity in the world or something like that. It's this long name that you never see under normal circumstances. And the Unification Church is how you're going to see most of the references to this thing. And you also, of course, you have the slang term that many people use for this, which is the Moonies, because of the founder being Sun Myung Moon. I found the name. He founded the legal name is Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. And like I said, you can't put that on the back of a t-shirt. But the key to this all is you, at some point, you have to signal that there isn't a traditional Christian church anywhere in the world that considers this to be a Christian church. And which means that if you're going to do good journalism about a story that involves the Unification Church, you need to decide, as journalists would say, you have to decide what to call it on second reference. And I think the safest thing to call it is a religious movement. And then I saw one reference that we can discuss in a while if you wish. Someone called it a messianic movement. And that's actually pretty accurate, because Sun Myung Moon argued that Jesus had appeared to him and told him that he was the Messiah for this age. Now, does that mean he is Jesus reincarnate? Did that mean he's the Messiah for all ages? Does that mean he's the Messiah as long as he's alive? Does that mean he's the, you know, you get into all these other questions, which he wasn't anxious to settle. But he definitely claimed messianic status as the leader of all Christianity and all religion in the world. So needless to say, that's not going to go over big with Nicene or Apostles' Creed Christianity. So A, I think it's Unification Church on the first reference. And then you get into second reference, where I think probably the safest thing to call them is a religious movement. Then what we probably need to discuss further is, when do you call it a cult? And does that word apply? And some media use that word to describe the Unification Church, and others don't. And I think we need to have some clear standards in mind if we're going to use that word.
No, I take it the New York Times, the paper of record, used the word church repeatedly, a couple dozen times, I think you did the count. Why do you think the New York Times handled the word church in this way? It applied to the Unification Church.
That's a great question. I don't want to take a guess at this or impugn their motives or something, but the point of the story is to say that the Unification Church was a dangerous, conservative group that lots of people wanted money from and wanted the cooperation of. And so thus you have, you know, the assassinated former prime minister. Thus you have Donald Trump. You have people appearing at rallies for the Unification Church and saying all kinds of things. The survivor, the widow of Sun Myung Moon, who is known in the church as the True Mother, capital T, capital M, True Mother. And Trump called her a tremendous person and praised her incredible work on behalf of peace all over the world. And I think the short answer to your question is politics. This is a dangerous conservative body. It's a religious group, must be a church. I mean, the church is really dangerous right now. Church in general, we don't like churches, maybe we don't like conservative churches, but what you don't find in this story is any description of why this particular group would be controversial. I mean, for example, let me just read the paragraph there on that. The Unification Church was founded in South Korea in 1954 by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. It later expanded overseas, building a network of newspapers and civic organizations it used to develop ties with conservative political parties around the world. It also generated questions about its recruiting and business practices. In the 70s and 80s, the group faced lawsuits over solicited funds and charges of brainwashing by parents who said their children had been forced to join. And of course, they're also famous for the mass wedding ceremonies, where you have hundreds of people getting married, and many of them haven't met each other until that day. But church leaders say that they're inspired by God for certain couples to get married, etc. A behavior that some people would say is the kind of emotional and commitment manipulation that you would see in a cult. But once again, the question is, how do you define cult? Why was the Times so reckless with its use of the word church over and over and over? 25 times, if you search just the story file, including the headlines, you don't see that. I didn't see that in any other report about this, especially in the absence of specific language about why they're controversial, the messianic role that Moon claimed for himself over his followers or any of the other stuff. It was politics, money, church. And that was the key message.
So would this apply, this I'm just occurring to me as I'm listening to you, would this apply to media coverage of, not to get too far afield, of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? There's that word again.
Well, you could say that the Latter-day Saints are a classic example of a new religious movement. And you could even go back and make some comparisons to Islam in the sense that Muhammad said he was a prophet. He did not say he was a Messiah. In fact, that would be anathema in Islam to claim that you were some sort of incarnation. That's why Jesus is anathema as a Messiah, not as a prophet, but as a Messiah or Son of God in Islam. Prophet language can make you a sect. It can make you a controversial doctrinal group, which the Latter-day Saints certainly are. They remain in the view of Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, evangelicalism, and I think even most liberal mainline churches would not accept their claim to be a traditional Trinitarian Christian movement, in part because of a host of doctrines, but they have beliefs that have implications for your belief about the Trinity and the Godhead, which are too much. That's a whole nother broadcast to talk about that. The Unification Church is different from that because here you have a man saying, Jesus Christ has told me to do his work. I am the Messiah. That's different than saying, I'm a prophet who has new revelations and new teachings for a new age. It takes the formation of this religion up to a whole other level. And certainly, in the eyes of traditional Christians, it can be called a doctrinal cult. The question that journalists are going to ask is it a sociological cult? Is this a cult that has brainwashing? There's that word that was used by the Times. Does it have some sort of dangerous power over the life of its followers, you know, on life and death issues? Is it a cult of leadership, a cult of behavior, a sociological cult? This is something I've written about a number of times at Get Religion, and I'll write about it again. It's the sort of thing that I studied in graduate school in a full-length semester graduate course on the characteristics of religious movements, new religious movements, and cults. Controversial stuff when you write about it in public media, but it's certainly relevant to this story. And like I said, I think you use Unification Church on the first reference. This is what they've named themselves. And after that, you need to make sure that people know this is a controversial religious movement. And why is it a controversial religious movement? Frankly, if you're interested, some other publications did a much better job with this. And this, which made it all the weirder that the New York Times didn't. I mean, it's interesting to see the Washington Post get it right and the New York Times get it wrong on a story of this magnitude, for example.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the alleged assassin of Japan's former prime minister and the Unification Church. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those other publications that did a better job. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find issues, etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues, etc. today.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Folks, you can watch and listen to Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Bobby Reisenden, Chris Rosebro, Brian Wolfmiller, Will Whedon, and Joel Bierman from this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. For a contribution of $300 by Labor Day, we'll send you a link, username, and password for a video and audio recording. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. We're talking about media coverage of the alleged assassin of Japan's former prime minister and the Unification Church. Terry Mattingly of Get Religion is our guest. So, Terry, before the break, you talked about the Washington Post doing a better job. What did they get right?
Well, I mean, you can look at their report. The key is that they didn't leave readers flying blind, knowing why this is a controversial group. And it doesn't take a whole lot of information to make that clear. So, for example, they went after the meeting with Donald Trump. You know they're not going to pass up that. You know, with the true mother reference and Trump calling her a tremendous person and all that. But then the very next sentence, Sun Myung-moon, who called himself a messiah, preached that Jesus had instructed him to continue his work on earth. Now, I don't know anybody who would say that that sentence is not accurate. And I think if readers read that, they would go, okay, that's kind of different. I mean, they would certainly understand why there would be people who wouldn't consider this to be a Christian church. I got emails and texts from a couple of journalists, and one of them said, I really didn't think the Unification Church was a Christian church. And he sent me the URL to the New York Times article, which contains the word church 25 times. And if you think about the meaning of the word church, I think the vast majority of newsreaders would go, church, that means Christian. You think that's a safe assumption?
I think they would not just be a safe assumption, it's an ironclad one.
Yeah. So then you get into the fact that it doesn't take that many words to tip the reader off on this. There was a piece at NBC News that I thought, once again, this is a short reference. I don't think this is quite as good as the Washington Post one, but it opens by saying the church, founded by self-professed Messiah Sun Myung-moon, is distancing itself from media reports that the suspect's mother made a hefty donation to the group. Okay, that's pretty good. Later, it called a messianic religious movement known for conducting mass weddings and courting prominent U.S. conservatives has found itself, et cetera, et cetera. In both of those cases, I think that's good. I think that's the crucial language that people need. But I think the very clear reference in the Washington Post is better. Just go ahead and quote Sun Myung Moon, who called himself a Messiah, who preached that Jesus had instructed him to continue his work on earth. The word preached is crucial because that implies public statements. This isn't something he said behind closed doors and people are guessing at it. The way, for example, they might guess at the contents of some rituals in Latter-day Saint temples, which are private and people don't discuss them. So thus you kind of have to argue about what they say or they don't say. These are things that he said out in public. And if you tell readers that, they're going to understand that this is not a traditional Christian church in any meaningful sense of the word, even though he called it a church. So you give him the first reference, and after that, you have to let the readers know why this group is considered unique.
You know, the crazy thing about it, Terry, is that the inclusion of the moon information and the inclusion of, we're talking now the 50 plus year history of this religious movement makes the
65 now. Yeah.
It makes the story so much more interesting. I don't see why a reporter would pass it by. It makes it more interesting to connect it with this strange religious group, large as it is in South Korea and Japan, this strange religious group with a possible connection to a motive for assassination.
Yeah, except maybe you have to decide in your brain what you think makes this group questionable or dangerous. And for the New York Times, that was politics, money, and the word church. I think that's pretty obvious. But if you wanted to get into the relationship of the Unification Church with other religious movements, you would immediately find out that nobody else considers it to be a Christian body. But to some degree, maybe if you make it sound religiously strange, the Times people thought that would undercut the political drama somehow. I don't know. Like I said, I can't do more than speculate at this point. But it's very clear that most other media groups, not all, but most of them put in religious language that let readers and listeners know why this wasn't an ordinary group. Then you get in, I think it's very interesting to know, if Sun Myung Moon is dead, if he's gone, what has happened to the movement? And now that requires another paragraph or two, because you've had a lot of splits. You've had the group kind of frantically working to stay alive, make converts, and get money, which then directly links to the assassination plot, because that seems to have been the motive. This young man was upset that his family donated lots of money to the Unification Church, and that appears to have pushed him over the edge. It bankrupted his mother, it bankrupted his family, and he took things into his own hands, made himself a gun, and shot the former prime minister in the back. But like you just said, if you're going to bring the Unification Church into this, and I don't know how you avoid it, why not let the readers know why this is a struggling and still controversial religious movement? That's a part of the story if it's a part of the motive of the assassination. How do you leave that out? So I agree with you there.
I also found it somewhat odd that as these revelations are coming forward today, that really, as I said, is a whole new wrinkle in this story that was already fascinating in and of itself, as tragic as it was. National Public Radio is kind of pushing really hard the gun violence angle on this, using this story in every iteration it writes about to contrast the numbers of American gun violence with that of Japan.
Well, I mean, I personally, as you know, I'm in favor of some forms of gun control that many conservatives wouldn't be. And I don't think the goal here is for you and me to debate gun control. I'm saying, though, that if you're uncomfortable with the religious element and you don't want to get into the word cult or the word sect or why this is or isn't a church that many people accept or whatever, then it's certainly safer to talk about gun control. When in doubt, talk about gun control. Mention Donald Trump, mention gun control, mention the ties to conservatives, all of which are real. But I don't know. You know me. I think the religion angle is interesting. And in this point, it's a crucial fact linked to motive. I mean, this guy did not shoot the former prime minister in the back because he disagreed with him on gun control. So it had something to do with his family that made him angry.
So with just a couple minutes here, how hard is it for a journalist or anyone for that matter to get a good, common, agreed upon definition for that word we've been discussing here, church?
Well, I mean, if you go and look it up in the dictionary, what you see over and over is you'll see references to church is a public building. What kind of public building? It's a public building used for Christian worship. Jews don't meet in a church. Muslims don't meet in a church. So then you get into worship as an act of going to church. In other words, even if you went in a outdoor movie theater, a drive-in theater like during COVID, you'd still say, I'm going to church. Because, you know, you're going to worship. And what kind of worship? Christian. But then you get down into a definition as explicit as a body of Christian believers, even Christendom. Or even more specific in one definition that I put in my post at Get Religion, any division of this body professing the same creed and acknowledging the same ecclesiastical authority. The Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church. But you can't say Moon Church in the same way because that church doesn't have the same Messiah and view of, literally, view of God as traditional creedal Christian bodies. So you're trying to get away from the reader thinking, oh, this is just a conservative Christian church. They needed a bunch of money and did blah, blah, blah. If readers have any chance to come away with that, you have misinformed them what is going on in the story, and you've been simplistic, shallow, and I would argue inaccurate.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow at the Overy Center for Southern Journalism and Politics at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
We'll be talking with Erin Hawley on the other side of the break. She served on the Mississippi legal team defending the state's Gestational Age Act at the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about the lies of the now defunct Roe v. Wade ruling.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that he does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When a 2018 fire nearly destroyed Milwaukee's historic Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church, we got to work. but continued to give the gifts Christ freely gives to his saints here in Milwaukee as we have since 1847. We are nearly two-thirds of the way to completion on this historic restoration, but we need help to finish this work. Will you join us? Please consider joining us. Visit trinitymilwaukee.org for more information. And as pastor, I can't wait to welcome you home to Trinity.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.